Luke chapter 2 tonight's where we'll be as we conclude this series, The Nativity Through Joseph's Eyes. A unique look. I pray it's been profitable and beneficial to look at this familiar scene, but in a different light. So tonight we're in Luke 2, and we come to verse number 8, and the Word of God says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." You know, Joseph sometimes seems like the forgotten man at Christmas time. You have the angels, you have Mary, you have the shepherds, even have the wise men. They're not quite there yet, but we have the wise men. And they're all sung about in Christmas carols and things of that nature. But what about Joseph? Let's pray tonight as we jump right into the lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this precious book that we call the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the encouraging words that we heard today in different lights around the community and even overseas of things happening for your glory. We praise you for that. We ask you to be in the presence of Sherry tonight in the hospital, and that you would give the doctors and nurses and the technicians all the wisdom they need to perform the right tests and have an accurate diagnosis and then have a plan. Lord, she is in your hands right now. Be with Marvin tonight, dear Lord, and encourage him. Be with Brittany and Seth and David tonight, and they pray for their mom and are there by her side. I pray, dear Lord, that you would just intervene as only you can do. And then all the other prayer requests that have been mentioned here tonight, Lord, we lift them up to you. But as Brother Mike prayed, just specifically, we pray for the lost loved ones that we would be a witness to them through this Christmas season. Help us not to put it on hold until after the holidays are past, but to be vigilant this Christmas season to pray for our loved ones. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Many Christmas carols are sung about those who shared in the glorious events surrounding Christ's birth. The angels are found in songs such as "Hark, the herald angels sing," and "It came upon the midnight clear." The wise men are sung of, and "We Three Kings of Orient Are," and "The March of the Kings." The shepherds are remembered in "While Shepherds Watch Their Fields," and "The First Noel." And of course, the Virgin Mary, Jesus, and Jesus are the subject of countless songs through this time and the season. "Away in a Manger, Silent Night." Why, even the animals are remembered in "What Child Is This?" And sometimes imaginary characters are even sung about, like a little drummer boy. But what about Joseph? Joseph doesn't have his own Christmas hymn or carol. But you know, Joseph is mentioned one time in one Christmas carol. And it's in a verse that we rarely sing. But it's in the Christmas hymn, "Angels We Have Heard on High." And it's in the very last stanza. And it says this: "See Him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while our hearts in love we raise." That's the only time I could find that Joseph is even mentioned in any type of Christmas hymn or carol. He's almost like a forgotten man. But what an important man. As we have seen through these last 5 weeks, he had a major role to play, and God chose him just like he chose Mary. So as we studied last time, we saw that the fullness of time had come, and Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus, as it says in verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Who would God announce the tremendous news of the birth of His Son? Who would He announce it to? You know, when our sons and daughters were born, we want to announce it to as many people as we can. We're so excited. I'm so happy that you have a new grandson. That's so exciting. A new child has been brought into the world. Who are we going to announce it to? Our close loved ones. We're going to announce it to our distant relatives, possibly. We could announce it to our co-workers, to our friends and neighbors. Definitely to our church family. But who would God announce the tremendous news of His Son's birth? Nowhere else in the Bible narrative, nowhere in the wonderful New Testament do we have where God directly proclaims to anyone that Jesus has been born, except here in the gospel. In Luke 2:8, we see that God is going to give one birth announcement, and He has selected the shepherds. Imagine for a moment you do not know this story. I told you God went to someone to announce the birth of Jesus, God's only Son, and you don't know this story, and you say, well, who did God tell? You might first think that God would go to the greatest leader of that day, the most powerful leader of that day, Caesar, the emperor of Rome. No. Might be a natural thought, but no, God didn't go to the political leader. What about King Herod, the one who ruled over the region that Jesus would live? It makes sense, but no. Maybe God would send an announcement to the high priest in Jerusalem, the religious leader. Again, no. Maybe God would send an announcement to the mayor of Bethlehem, there close to where Jesus is at. All of these people would be logical recipients of God's birth announcement, wouldn't they? Political and religious leaders. Surely they would be on an announcement list at least. But the palace doesn't hear. The temple doesn't hear. Jerusalem doesn't hear. This birth announcement that God gives out goes to a group of anonymous shepherds. We have no idea the number or their names. And they were on the outskirts of Bethlehem. These shepherds are forever immortalized in our Christmas hymns and nativity scenes. We picture them with their shepherd crooks and their flowing robes as if they actually belong in the birthplace of the King of Kings. But the reality is they didn't belong there. In our eyes, shepherds did not belong at the side of the birth of the King of Kings. Of the day they lived in, shepherds did not belong there. In fact, many people of that region and in that society and in that culture did not believe that shepherds belonged anywhere but in the fields. To see Christ and to see Christmas through their eyes, we have to understand their situation. I'm getting to Joseph. There were few occupations more demanding but lowly in stature than the shepherd. They were religious outcast. First of all, shepherds were considered to be away from religion. They had no place in the Jewish temple. They were unclean. According to Jewish law, these men did not need to step into the temple because they were the unclean ones. Because their work required them to be on site day after day, night after night. It prevented them from participating and observing the Jewish feast. It prohibited them from allowing them to participate in holy days that made up the Jewish religious calendar. When everyone else was making a trip to Jerusalem to bring their sacrifice to the temple, they were out in the fields watching the sheep. They would be considered religious outcasts. And yet, God chose to deliver the message to them of the birth of His Son. The birth of the Redeemer of the world, the Savior of the world. God chose religious outcasts, unclean ones, to say, "You're welcome. You're welcome by the side of my Son. You may come and worship my Son." No matter if the religious crowd looks at you as unclean and outcast, I welcome you into my presence. Verse 8 says, "And there was the same country, shepherds abiding in the field." That means they were residing, dwelling in the field, keeping watch. That word watch means protecting with their guard. They were there for protection of the sheep over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Can you imagine shepherds that were considered the religious outcast? Did not go to the temple, did not go to observe the Jewish holidays and the holy days and the high days. And God sent an angel, not just one, but a host of the multitudes of angels, to anonymous shepherds to say, "My Son is here, come and see Him. Come and worship Him." They were not only religious outcasts, but they were social outcasts. Not only were they religious outcasts in nature, but shepherds were really social outcasts, since they were constantly on the move from one pasture to another pasture with their flocks. They were looked at with suspicion as untrusty nomads. The way people, I guess they still do. I know back in the 90s they still looked at gypsies and carnival people as untrustworthy. And if something happened in the area, "Oh, it must have been the gypsies," or "Oh, it must have been the carnival people." They would have been accused of theft and robbery just because of who they were. If something came up missing, it must have been the shepherds. They were not permitted to give testimony in any legal proceedings because their word was considered untrustworthy. And yet, God sent the message to them to go and see and then to go and tell. Someone who is a social outcast and a religious outcast, God says, "I find you worthy to deliver a message for me. My Son has come." And my, did they do the job well. We continue to read, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." They would have been terrified. The angels are coming to us? Are they here to smite us? Are they here to judge us? No, they're there because God sent them to you because He loves you. He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. Did you notice that verse? We read it so quickly. We probably have it memorized. For unto you. Unto you. Personal. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. A what? A Savior. God says, I'm bringing this message to you, shepherds. God's Son, Savior, has been born for you this day. For you. Those who are considered religious outcasts, those who are considered social outcasts, God says, He's come for you to be your Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then He gives them a sign. Remember, the Pharisees are trying always, and the religious leaders in Jerusalem are trying always to get Jesus to give them a sign. And He said, no sign shall be given unto you except the sign of Jonas, or Jonah. But God gives the angels a sign that they will know when they have found the right baby. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now that would not be normal. We're not going to go into the swaddling clothes, but there is a whole other lesson on just what swaddling clothes were. It was not the proper baby attire for the day. So when God says, here's a sign, you're going to find the babe and He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they're going, what? Swaddling clothes, really? But then He goes further and says He's going to be laying in a manger. Why is He laying in a manger? Why isn't He in a bed? Why isn't He in a palace? Why isn't He in a home? Why is He in a manger? And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, so great a number it couldn't be counted. The night sky would have been bright, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said, can you see them? Wow! What did we just see? What did we just witness? Remember, 400 years of silence from God has gone by. These shepherds probably do not know that an angel met Zacharias in the temple, John the Baptist's father. They probably don't know that an angel has appeared to Mary and an angel has appeared to Joseph. For all they know, the 400 years of silence from God has just ended with them. God has broken this silence from heaven to us. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, these shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. There was no question, do we just keep guarding the sheep? Do we keep staying in the field? Do we just go about our business now? There was no thought of that. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, that's an interesting statement. Let us go and see what the Lord hath made known unto us. The Lord didn't come to talk to them, the angels did. But they take this as a message from God. And what does verse 16 say? They came with haste. They had no delay. They came straightway. What about the sheep? What about the sheep? What about protecting the sheep? What about, it could have been daytime, but I think it was nighttime. And what about the sheep? There's no thought of the sheep. We got to get to this babe. We got to get to this manger. We got to get to this babe in swaddling clothes, because the Lord has given us a message that we must heed. They were religious outcasts. They were social outcasts, but they were cultural outcasts as well. On top of all of what is going on in a shepherd's life, they really didn't have a lot of contact with people outside of the sheepfold. Most of the time, they are abiding in the field, as it says in verse 8. This was not a job like regular hours. They didn't come home every night for dinner. They were with the sheep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They may have had shifts. We're not told that for sure. But when it says abiding in the field, they are living in the fields with the sheep. During the day, they would lead the sheep to grass and water. They watched while the sheep grazed. They kept an eye out for predators. And at night, they actually slept with the sheep to guard against theft and animal attacks. They probably did not smell exactly like fresh holly and Christmas cookies. They probably didn't get many invitations to social events. By profession, by cultural status, they were loners. They gathered together with like kind. Do you see why many people of that day would not have thought that the shepherds belonged beside the manger, beside a newborn babe, much less a newborn king? But now, let's step back for a moment. Imagine you are God. God forbid. I don't want to be God. Imagine though we are God and you want to announce the most amazing, incredible, joyful news ever. An event which will literally change the course of history. The birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of the one who will be the Savior of the world. The one for whom the nation of Israel has been waiting and hoping and praying for thousands of years. He has come. Who gets this announcement? Who do you invite to come and see? Not Caesar. Not Herod. Not the high priest. Not the Pharisees. In God's eyes, there's only one group, the shepherds. Those who understood protection and care for the little lambs. They're smelly, yes. They're dirty, yes. They're socially and religiously outcast, yes. Why would God send an angelic choir to the shepherds? Why go to them? Were they outstanding believers in God? Well, nothing in the Scripture shows us that. Had this visitation fulfilled a prophecy? There is no prophecy about the shepherds being visited by the angels. So that's not it. Go back to verse 15. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The shepherds who were normally obsessive in their protection of the flocks, who lived to watch over these dear animals, to leave the sheep behind, they did, and raced off to see this baby. We look at the scene now in the stable. According to the Bible, when the shepherds arrived at the manger to see the newborn Jesus, we can speculate a little bit again about Joseph because the scriptures don't give us this details. But when the shepherds arrive, Joseph is on guard. Joseph is protecting his wife. Joseph is protecting the baby Jesus. He's cleaned the stall. He's moved animals. He has arranged things to give Mary a little privacy. He has been there. He's probably been the first to hold the Son of God in his hands, to look into the eyes of the Eternal One. He's probably being overly protective at this moment. And here comes the smelly, the dirty, outcast of shepherds. Well, it sort of fits with their surroundings. They're in a smelly stable, cave, home, house. They're surrounded by animals, and everything that comes with an animal is there. It sort of fits. Shepherds, stable, lambs, cows. Joseph would have likely reacted with a little bit of surprise and wonder at these unexpected visitors. Well, what are y'all guys doing here? What brought you here? Why are you here? How did you even know we were here? Oh, and the story is told about the angel, and about the multitude of heavenly hosts, about the glorious light and the message from the Lord. Shepherds of all people arriving at the stable, telling of an angelic choir announcing the birth of Jesus and the sign that they were given. And here's the fulfillment of the sign: a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Even though shepherds were about as low as you could get in Jewish society, culturally, not going towards the lepers or that class. Just think, the shepherds were the first or one of the first groups of people to kneel and worship at the manger. The unclean, the dirty, the smelly, the outcast. God said, "Come on in, guys. Come on down and see." Oh my. It could have been a Roman governor. It could have been the high priest to make the short trip. It could have been the mayor of Bethlehem. But no, the Son of God was delivered to the lost, to the poor, to the forgotten, folks like us. Folks like a band of shepherds. And then they went out and they told everyone they ran into about the events they had witnessed. Notice it in the scriptures. Verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things." Remember, the religious society, the political society, the cultural societies, they didn't trust the word of the shepherds. It was untrustworthy. But yet, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, and probably Joseph, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. It was just like the angel said. And they have a new step. They have a new walk. They have their heads looking upwards, their eyes looking upwards, glorifying and praising God. But what about Joseph? What about Joseph? I truly believe that God gives Joseph a gift here at the stables. I believe God gave Joseph a gift. And the special gift that God gave him by sending shepherds to the manger, I believe Joseph received from God reassurance that he's at work and that they are not alone. As lonely as that journey was from Nazareth, as lonely as that search was through Bethlehem for a place, as lonely as that birth was, almost forgotten it seemed. Oh, Joseph, you haven't been forgotten. Mary, you haven't been forgotten. God from the portals of heaven says, let's send the shepherds over to just help Joseph realize I'm still at work. I gave them a sign, and the sign was right there before them, right before Mary, right before Joseph. Yes, they're smelly. Yes, they're dirty, but I died for them too. Or I'm going to die for them too. Joseph receives that reassurance from God that I'm at work and I have not forgotten you. You're not alone in this journey. As Joseph would have contemplated this visit by the shepherds, like Mary keeps all these things and pondered them in her heart, Joseph too has a mind, and he would have been going, my goodness, what is God doing? As he contemplates who God has sent, he must have been encouraged that God would announce the birth of Jesus to the lowly class of shepherds. If he cares enough to send the angels to the shepherds, oh, he must care for me and Mary. Joseph would have been encouraged to continue to follow the steps of what God tells him to do. And there's other instances of God sending an angel and talking to Joseph, giving him direction. And Joseph now understands that God is at work and I must listen and follow Him no matter what comes. Do you ever get to the place where it seems so dark, so lonely, so out of your control that you feel like God has sort of forgotten about you for a while? God can't forget about us. We're His children. Parents don't forget about their children. We're co-laborers with Christ, the babe, lying in a manger, but He's not going to stay a babe. He's going to grow and mature and begin a ministry. He's going to lead people in the path that they are to go, the way the Bible tells us. He's going to go the old rugged cross. He's going to take upon Himself our sin, my sin. He's going to give His life, not as a babe, but as a man, for you and for me and for the shepherds. And those shepherds, as lowly as they are the first to be welcomed into the stable. And Joseph, oh Joseph, he's ready to follow God. What's next, God? Where do you want us to go, God? What do you want us to do, God? Well, we know sort of the rest of the story. Joseph is going to move them to a house. Somehow, either his own, remember he went to his own city. Maybe he got a place in his own residence, his own inherited property there in Bethlehem, but he moves into a house because when the wise men come, they come to a home, to a house. And we know it must be a time later because when the wise men first stop at Herod and they ask, where is he that has been born, king of the Jews? Herod's like, what are you talking about? I'm the king of the Jews. He has the scribes go and research, and oh, he's to be born in Bethlehem. And then Herod says, you come back to me and tell me where it happened and where you found him, and I'll come and make reverence to him. But God told the wise men to go a different way home, not to go to Herod. And Herod finds out, and he gets upset, and he sends his armies and soldiers to Bethlehem, and they kill all the baby boys they could find, 2 years and younger. So a span of time has passed. God tells Joseph, go to Egypt. Go to Egypt. One of the only times and the whole scripture that God tells someone to go to Egypt. Usually it's man going to Egypt on their own. There's a few others, but not many. But if the shepherds had not come and had not relayed the message to Mary and Joseph of what they had seen and what they had heard and the sign that God had given them, then when God tells Joseph to go to Egypt, Egypt, God, why don't we just go back to Nazareth? Why don't we go back home? No, he now knows God's at work, and I'm to listen to God and follow God. Whatever comes, I am to follow God. But you know, there's possibly another reason that God sent the angelic choir to the shepherds. Maybe, just maybe, they were the only ones listening. They were alone in the fields. They were not distracted. They were watching the sheep. They weren't worried about finishing their Christmas shopping. They weren't worried about finalizing travel plans. So when God called, they were attentive and they were responsive. They listened. Are we listening this Christmas season to what God is calling us to do? After the Christmas season, we will return, just like the shepherds. We will return to the fields and to the flocks, the normal, everyday routine and responsibilities. That's what the shepherds did. They went back to their jobs. They went back to the routine. They went back to the responsibilities. And when this season is over, will we return back to our routine, our responsibilities, glorifying and praising God, or we just go back and keep our head down and not make a ruckus? The shepherds were not the same people they were before they went to the manger. The shepherds were shepherds, dirty, smelly, outcast shepherds before the manger visit. After the manger visit, they were still smelly, dirty, outcast shepherds. But they had some pep in their step and a song in their voice. And they were praising God and telling everybody they saw of the wonders God has shown them. They were changed by visiting Christ. When we come to Christ, truly come to Christ, we leave changed. I pray you do.
That's good.
When I met Christ, October 5th, 1985, in Ocean Highway Baptist Church outside of Wilmington, North Carolina, I left changed. I never knew Jesus died for me. I knew He died for the world. I did know that. But I didn't know He died for me. I needed a Savior. I was smelly. I was dirty. I was an outcast and didn't even know it. And when I came to Christ, I left different. I left changed. I had praise in my voice. I had a song. I had a pep in my step. I was looking upwards. I did go back to my fields and flocks, but I was changed. We're not the same once we come to Christ. God is now with us. Therefore, let us go forth humbly as shepherds, forever changed, transformed by the experience of His first coming, praising and glorifying God and letting people know about the good news of Christ through the way He lives through us. Let's go back into the world as living birth announcements. Jesus has come and He's coming again. We can return to business as usual in the same places, but not the same people. We have been changed. It says again in verse 17, and when they, the smelly, the dirty, the outcast shepherds, had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. Notice verse 20. And the shepherds returned back to normal responsibilities, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Joseph has been changed. The shepherds have been changed. We have been changed if we've come to Christ with a believing heart and repentant lips. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to live our lives as just thinkers? Let's think about this. Let's think about what happened. Or are we going to live our lives as doers? I love this cartoon. The thinking man, but right beside him is the absent thinking or the absent doer. He's gone. He's doing the work. What will we do? Will we just think about what's happened, or will we do the work God has called us to do? Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Oh my, thank you for going to shepherds. Thank you for not just going to the palace. Thank you for not just going to the emperor. Thank you for not just going to the religious elite. You came to the lowly to help us understand we also are acceptable in your presence. We can come too. We have been invited too. And Lord, I pray when we come to Christ, we don't leave the same way. We leave changed. And we're going to go and do what you're telling us to do. Bless, I pray, your people. Thank you for them. They're such an encouragement. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, you'd bless them with a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Be again with Miss Sherry tonight. Be with Marvin. Help them to feel your hands upon them tonight. We love you, Lord. Thank you for changing us. Help us not to forget what you have done in our hearts and in our lives. Keep us close and keep us looking up. For one day, very soon, we're going to go up into your presence and see your face and be able to live with you forever. And my, will we be changed then? What a day. Looking forward to it, Lord. God bless. Thank you for being here tonight. Help us tonight to leave here changed.